Good morning and welcome to Revive Us Now. This is Todd Mozingo, lead pastor at Revive Church in Stuart, Florida. Let's get into the Word this morning. Good morning. Today is going to be our last day in the book of Jonah. We've been there all week. I'm going to be in chapter 4. I want to start just by reading this chapter to you. But it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "Please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish. For I knew that you're a gracious and compassionate God, that you're slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better for me than life." Then the Lord said, "Do you have a good reason to be angry?" That's one of those statements that I really hope God will allow us to go back and actually hear him say that in time, so I can see how he delivered that. "Do you have a good reason to be angry, Jonah?" Then Jonah went out from the city and sat east of it. There he made a shelter for himself, and he sat under it in the shade until he could see what would happen in the city. So the Lord God appointed a plant that grew up over Jonah to be shade over his head and delivered him from his discomfort. And Jonah was extremely happy about the plant. But God appointed a worm. When the dawn came the next day, it attacked the plant and it withered. And when the sun came up, God appointed a scorching wind. And the wind beat down on Jonah's head, so that he became faint and begged with all of his soul to die. "Death is better to me than life." Then God said to Jonah, "Do you have a good reason to be angry about the plant?" And he said, "I have a good reason to be angry even to death." And then the Lord said, "You had compassion on the plant for which you did not work and which you did not cause to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight. Should I not have compassion," God says, "on Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know the difference between their right and left hand, as well as the many animals that are there?" I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Have you ever lost something really precious to you? Have you ever broken something that had true sentimental value to you? Maybe you had a very precious pet die. I mean, we know sorrow, right? We've been through the loss of things. And in chapter 4, there are about three occurrences of a loss that takes place between Jonah and God. But I want you to notice something that's kind of unique. When we look at chapter 4, from verse 5 through verse 11, Jonah is sitting outside of the city with a plant that's growing up over him and a sun that's come over him. But in verse 1 through 4, we see that the city has already repented. And in verse 10 of chapter 3, it tells us that the city actually repented. So why would he be out sitting under a tree? I think it's because this story in verse 4 is not meant to be in order. And I'll show you how the book of Jonah does that several times. If you look back in chapter 3, it talks about the king repenting, and yet Jonah had never actually talked to him, and yet a repentance happens. And then he goes back and he's sitting outside under a tree for all this time after the city repented. That doesn't seem to really make sense, does it? I think a better understanding is he had gone into the city, he had preached the word, he had gone out and he had sat on the hillside under the tree, waiting to see what happens with the city. He was waiting to see if they would repent or not. You see that in verse 5 of chapter 4. It says, "Then Jonah went out from the city and sat to the east of it. There he made a shelter for himself, and he sat in the shade until he could see what happened in the city." Well, if the city had already repented, why would he be out there waiting to see what happened? I think the bottom line is, Jonah goes in, he tells the city these things, he goes out, he sits under the tree to wait to see what happens, the city repents, and then he has this conversation with God and says, see, I knew that you would go easy on them. I knew that you would let them off, because God is still working on Jonah's heart. And maybe the story of Jonah, we learn some things about ourselves. Maybe one of the first things I would want to point out is just because you've had a gospel or a salvation experience, it does not mean that you won't still struggle with sin and wanting to run away from God. I honestly believe that the Christian walk is a battle. It's a war where we put on our armor and we in defense use our defensive armor, and in offense use our sword to go against the enemy who is constantly still coming with us in the temptation of sin. It's said like this in Luke chapter 9:23. And he was saying to all of them, if anyone wishes to come after me, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me daily. See, we live in a culture that wants to talk and admit their failures if it's the badge they wear under grace. But don't forget the question that was asked. Do we continue in sin so that grace can abound? By no means. See, we died to sin. So how can we continue to live in it? Romans 6:1-2 tells us. It will be a fight that we have to go against, just like Jonah, who ran, who had to have God turn him around, who's still struggling, even at the last moments of the softening of his heart, with what's gone on. See, I'm going to fight my sin, because my sin put my Savior to death, and I hate that which is within me that is not of God. I want to do battle against it. I want to fight against it. And I think Jonah helps us see that even though he was a prophet, even though he was called of God, he still struggled with his own self-righteousness. He still wanted to run away. He still struggled with his feelings toward the lost, toward the city of Nineveh, toward people who weren't God's people. He wanted them to suffer, and God had to work on him to change that. You know, many people will say, if God loved me, he would give me what I wanted, right? This is another story, I think, or another lesson we learned from the book of Jonah. God showed his love for Jonah by sending him a storm. Grab that for a minute. God sent him a storm because of his love for Jonah. He sent a fish to save him from drowning, to give him time to repent. He saved his life so that he could go to a cruel city. He gives him a plant. He takes the plant away to teach him a lesson about grace. He sends a scorching wind to make a point. Let me just say it this way. God has a no matter what kind of love. He will constantly work on us over and over and over to show his love for us. And sometimes that comes in sending us a storm. Sometimes that comes in taking things away from us so that we can learn the lesson of repentance. See, in this no matter what kind of love, nothing is going to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Satan can't do it. The world can't do it. And listen to me this morning. You can't do it. God will pursue you because God loves you. See, God is more compassionate to Jonah than even to Nineveh. He pursued him. He chased him. He brought him back. His love for Jonah was not going to stop. And God's love for you is that same love that he had for Jonah. Even when you're acting like Jonah, he's going to come after you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Romans 8:31 says it this way. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, watch, but delivered him over for us all. Even God had his son go through the storm for love. He delivered him over for us all. How will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God's the only one who justifies. Who's the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for you. Who will separate us from the love of that Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Hear me. Whatever the storm is, wherever the storm came from, it will not separate you from the love of Christ, from the love of God in Christ. 36 is just as it is written. For your sake, we're being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing is going to be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen to me. Any created thing. God created the waters. He created the wind. God created the storm. But it did not separate Jonah from the love of God. It was a tool to express to Jonah the love of God. My question is, are you on mission after your resurrection? When Jonah came out of the big fish, he was on mission. He was resurrected and was on mission. Jonah goes into a city where he's on mission for the gospel. Jonah leaves the city and mission when he thinks about what God has taught him. So as he sees the city of Nineveh repent, as he sees God raise up a branch that gives him shade and then take it away, God says this: should I not have compassion on Nineveh? It's a great city. There's more than 120,000 people here who don't know the difference between the right and the left hand, as well as many animals. Do you see the compassion in God? He said, I don't care if they're disrespecting me right now. I don't care if they're following other gods. They're people, and I love them. And I'm willing to take you through a storm, through being thrown in the ocean, through a fish, to get you to go there, to send them a message that will save them. So do you love maybe yourself more than other people? Is the Christian walk all about what God can do for you? I mean, basically, when he talks about in verse 10, you had compassion on the plant, which you didn't work for, which you didn't even cause to grow, which came up overnight. Why wouldn't you have passion on Nineveh? What he's saying is, hey, have you cried over the loss of a pet? Have you cried over the breaking of a precious object? Have you become dismayed over something you lost? The question is, have we cried? Have we become dismayed over the people who are lost, who are broken, who are dying without hope? And shame on us. This is what God says to Jonah. Your priorities are messed up. Your care should be for the people that I care for. And while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. So what if I took that perspective on the people in my life that I think are rejecting God, the people I look at and say, oh man, God's not going to show his favor on you because you're deep in sin, you reject God, you don't care about God, you're lost, you're worshiping yourself, you're worshiping the things of this world. God says, really? Those are people I love. Those are people that even while they're sinning, I'm going to do whatever I can to get them to repent and come back to me. And I'd like to use you to do that. But in order for you to do that, God is saying, you have to take on my heart. You have to see them as I see them. You worry about the little losses that you have and the things of this world and the sorrowful moments. But there are people out there who are going to spend an eternity without me. Can I use you to show my love to the Nineveh around you? Thank you for joining us for Revive Us Now. We'd love to have you come and check out Revive Church. Saturday night at 6 p.m., Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. We're right next to the post office at 851 Johnson Street, or you can check us out at reviveusnow.com. Have a blessed day.
Tired of raking your mulch back into your garden bed? Or have you replaced wood siding or a garage door because of rain damage? Gutter Guy Seamless Gutters, the rain drainage expert, can help. With 12 different colors to match your home's exterior, the Gutter Guy manufactures and installs 5, 6, and 7-inch seamless gutters. For repairs or gutters for the entire house, Gutter Guy is ready to service all your rain drainage needs. Gutter Guy.